This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Hi, Steve and Justin. How are you? This is Hercules from São Paulo, Brazil. Congratulations for the great show. I have a question regarding the 200-day moving average. What is the time frame that we should pick up? 1 year, 6 months, or 3 months? Because in all these terms, you also have the 200-day moving average. I believe it is the most accurate, is the one-year term chart with the line of the 200-day moving average. I'd like, you know, to appreciate a clarification on that. Thank you. Bye-bye.
When I talk about moving averages, you always start with the basic one-year chart, daily trades of a one-year chart, okay? Daily prices of a one-year chart. So one-year chart using the 200-day moving average, 100-day moving average, the 50-day, 20-day, and the 10-day moving average, okay? Now, that's what we start with, the 200-day moving average of the last daily price for a year. Now, can it get much more complex than that? Certainly. We use a simple moving average, not an exponential moving average for the 200-day. We use the close of the day price, not the opening high-low close divided by 4 or the open and close divided by 2. You see, there's different ways, and I'm just touching the surface of just figuring out what moving average you want to use. But one-year chart, daily movement of the price, that's what you use. Okay? Good question. Thank you. And I'm you know, for everybody else, you know, if you're looking at charts, that's called technical analysis. And if you're looking at the company and the strength of the company, that's fundamental analysis. And we always do fundamental analysis first, not technical analysis. Fundamentals meaning earnings, growth of earnings, return on equity, return on assets, balance sheets, cash flow, profit margins, net margins, gross margins, on and on and on. The fundamentals of the company. Technical is always looking at a chart. And what's the movement of the chart? And how you take a look at that chart. Are we offline still again? 888-99-CHART is our number. 888-992-4278. This is Invest Talk, everybody. I appreciate you going. We're having a little bit of technical difficulties. Not on my end for once. It's on the engineer's end. And so give us a call. Our number is always the same. Love to hear from you. 888-992-4278.
To Invest Talk. Steve says in researching a stock you like and you're looking for opinions, search out the analyst who doesn't like the stock and see why. Got questions about researching stocks? 888-99-CHART is how to ask it right now on Invest Talk.
888-992-4278. We're going to go talk to Frank in San Mateo. How you doing, Frank?
Hi, Steve. Nice talking to you. A lot about disruptive technologies and stuff, and I've been interested in this the 5G that's being implemented probably beginning, yes, of, you know, about the end of this year to next. And there's about three companies involved. One's Chinese. That they're going to be producing the base stations. And I was just wondering if you wanted to give us kind of a general feeling of the disruptive aspects and potential of the 5G, but Nokia is one of them that's involved in also in producing the base stations. And if you wanted to take a shot at that stock and see what the prospects are for it's been in the doldrums along with the others for a while, but thought you might like to talk about at least the 5G technology is coming along.
Yeah, Nokia Corporation, everybody, has been kind of struggling for a while because they got behind. They got very far behind. Finnish developer of telecom infrastructure, mobile broadcom technologies, and digital map networks. And, you know, everybody that remembers, I don't know if you know what 5G is. We haven't finished building out 4G yet, and we're already moving to the next generation of infrastructure, telephonic data transmission, 5G. And a big player in this area, Frank, is Qualcomm. But Qualcomm has this big battle with Broadcom. And one of the reasons why Broadcom wants to buy Qualcomm is because all the patents Qualcomm has on the next generation and the last generation. So they make so much money on those things. And so that's one of the reasons why Broadcom wants to take over Qualcomm, another reason why Qualcomm doesn't want to be taken over. But Nokia looks like they finally put in a bottom.
Yeah.
Finally. It's taken forever. At the bottom is like $4.70, $4.80, and today it's at $5.82. So it's coming off of that bottom. And you'll notice that in the month of February, it jumped high. When the whole market went down 10%, it jumped up. So that's a pretty positive sign, Frank. I think Nokia has finally gotten itself on the right side of the technology spectrum, and I think it's going to do quite well with the new 5G. I do.
Yeah, the speed, that's why I kind of touched on that disruptive. The speed of the 5G compared to the 4G, they've been talking about it, is 5G has download speeds of 10 gigabit per second compared to 1 gigabit for 4G. This is the Internet of Things, connection in the future. That's why I thought in the future, or even now, you might want to talk about how the disruptive. Now, Qualcomm makes the chips for the phones and stuff, but Nokia and Ericsson and Huawei, they make the base stations. Those RAN base stations that are going to have to be set up on all the antenna systems. And that's why I thought, this is where these are going to have to be set up before, it'll be implemented. But I appreciate you taking a shot at it anyway. Ultra. Thanks a lot.
I appreciate the call. Thank you. Yeah, I like Nokia. And remember, Qualcomm owns a patent for a lot of the technology used for transmission. Faster the transmission, the more people use it, the better it is for Qualcomm. Besides the chipsets that they make, yeah, you're right. Appreciate the call, Frank. Good call. And Nokia, N-O-K, everybody, N-O-K. It's based on next year's earnings of 38 cents a share, and it's a $5.82 stock. You can see, it's pretty reasonably priced. And its five-year range is 12 to 30 P.E. Kind of like that. So, yeah, I like Nokia it's a $32 billion company. It's not some small thing. And their dividend yield is 5.8% for Nokia. Kind of like it. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. The New York Stock Exchange was recently fined another $14 million, and this was for three kind of reasons. One is when they traded halt in July of 2015, when they halted trading for 3.5 hours, they gave quotes that they said were automated, but they weren't. Also, on another problem day, on August 24th, 2015, they violated their own rules when they started reopening the market, and the rules about pricing. They violated their own rules. They said that they were going to follow. There are two other violations. So it cost them $14 million. What this means to you and I is that you really can't trust necessarily the price. Especially after being halted, for them to get restarted. I've had this personally happen to me. Remember that flash crash a few years back, 1,000 points in a day on the Dow? I mean, this is what, 8 years ago, 5 years ago? I don't remember. And it was called the flash crash because it went down 1,000 points and recovered the whole 1,000 points in a day. Well, that day I was quoted a price. I bought a bunch of, at the time, it was Apple. I was buying Apple that day because I thought, man, it was down like 20-25% in one day. And I said, no way. So I bought. And then they busted the trade. So they didn't allow the trade to go through because the pricing was so bad and it wasn't right. I said, wait a minute. And that was the New York Stock or the NASDAQ at that time. So what's coming up on the next Invest Talk, everybody? Are you committing the bond blunder? That will be one of the topics on our Wednesday edition of Best Talk. That's tomorrow. And right now, we want to hear your talking point. Do you have one? Call me. I would love to hear it. 888-99-CHART.
Our podcast continues next on Invest Talk. One of the KPP financial solutions that help solve today's retirement puzzles is waiting for you. How do you get the income you need in retirement without the kind of risk that you just don't feel comfortable with? KPP Financial has a whole catalog of investment programs suited for today's investment climate and designed to suit your real-life situation today. Would you like to know more about the Balanced Income Program, for example? You can call 888-99-CHART and follow the prompts or ask Steve directly about it. Just click on Contact Steve on investtalk.com and your note will go directly to him and he'll answer your question. The Balanced Income Program is one solution from KPP Financial. And now let's get back to the podcast. You're listening to Invest Talk. Researching a stock? The debt-to-equity ratio compares a company's total debt to shareholders' equity. And both of these numbers can be found on a company's balance sheet. You have questions about that? Call and ask. 888-99-CHART is how to reach Invest Talk right now.
888-992-4278. Let's talk to Jim in Indiana. How are you doing, Jim?
I'm good. Yourself, Steve?
I'm very good. I appreciate the call. Thank you for listening. I appreciate that as well.
Yeah, so I was calling tonight about self-directed IRAs. For my own curiosity, where are some good resources to go to do research about those? I know that they have to have, I'm not going to be able to do that through Scottrade or anything like that. So where do I go to have someone manage those accounts for me?
Okay. You can open them up at any brokerage firm you want. Self-directed IRAs. Are you talking about a regular IRA, a Roth IRA, a SEP IRA? Do you know the difference of those things?
Yes. What I'm actually talking about is one of the self-directed IRAs like you could purchase real estate through.
Okay. Yeah, you're going to have help doing that. You can't do it yourself. And you can't go
right
to a regular brokerage firm and say, hey, I just like to... You can't do that. Usually what you need to do is call up a CPA. There will be some CPAs in your area that specializes in these special IRAs, these self-directed IRAs. And for everybody else, Jim, let me talk to everybody else real quick. What we're talking about is setting up an IRA in which you can buy real estate from. Now, there's very specific rules that you have to follow. So you cannot just open up an IRA and think you can just buy real estate from it. That doesn't work. And Jim's apparently fully aware of that. So, Jim, my suggestion is to talk to your accountant first and see if there's anybody they know of that's in your area that you can use. Because usually these self-directed IRAs have to be set up by a CPA. Because there's got to be a contract between you and the IRA, and it gets pretty difficult. Sometimes attorneys have to get involved with that. So you need someone who specializes in it, Jim. Don't try to do it with anybody else, but someone who specializes in it, okay?
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Appreciate the call. Good question. Now let's get back to our 24-hour listener line and pick up another question. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number, and here's a caller.
Hi, Steve or Justin. This is Vitaly calling from Atlanta. I wanted to ask you about PCG or EIX. I believe they were both blamed for the fires in California, which was a little while back. And I just wanted to get your opinion on it, if you think it's done falling, because it definitely seems like it has stopped. But I just want to get your opinion on it. Do you think it's a long-term hold? If so, do you think they can get back to the prices where they used to be at? And if you can just talk a little bit about EIX and PCG. Thank you.
Sure. PCG, everybody, PG&E Corporation, engaged in the generation and distribution of electricity and natural gas in northern central California. Remember the fires in California, then they were blaming down power lines for the fires, and, you know, they suspended their quarterly cash dividend. Someone called a few days or a week or two ago about this, and I mentioned a dividend, but I didn't mention they suspended it temporarily because of the fires. So potential liability out of the fires. And being a utility, I have no problem that they'll survive. It's a big company, $22 billion, and I do think they bottomed. I think they put in their bottom. They've been rising ever since the beginning of, near the beginning of February. Remember, February was a very bad month, right? But they've been rising since that, after that first week in February. So it looks like they put in their bottom. And fundamentally, they are pretty solid because it's utility, and they're not going anywhere. But, you know, they recently, the sales have fallen a little bit. But I don't think it's anything to concern yourselves. The thing you want to concern yourself with is their liability. But they have lots of insurance for that kind of thing. So I think that we're past the hardest part. Past the hardest part for this company. I think they bottomed. And it's now above the 20-day moving average. And today it just barely touched and then rose above and then came back and touched the 50-day moving average. So it's starting to move up. PCG is a symbol. PG&E Corporation. Out here in the California area, electricity generator. 888-99-CHART. Okay, stock outflows for the month of February. We had a 10% correction in about a week. Remember that? Very good. In that week, tons of people panicked out. This is normal. This is what happens all the time. And this is what you have to fight. For the whole month, $41.1 billion left stock ETFs and stock mutual funds. Money pulled out. Of that $41 billion for the whole month, $37 billion of it was for the first week. First week. So there's where people just panicked, ran, wanted out. It was interesting, though. We did not have like a huge runoff in sales, of stock sales in like one day, you know, what we call a exhaustive sell-off. We didn't have one of those. So, but we did have a lot of people cashing out their ETFs and mutual funds. This is what I'm worried about if we get into a real scare. I mean, people have been pouring money in the recent years into index funds and ETFs, index ETFs. If we get a real scare, what's going to happen? I mean, this is 1 week it went down 10%. You know, I don't think we're going to have it, but I will remind you that the market in one day crashed 20% in 1987. So that tells you how bad it could be. So that we had a massive amount of outflow in February from the stock market. I don't know if massive would probably be the right word. We had it was the third largest outflow for a month. Third largest month outflow of cash from the market in February. Third largest. Think about that. The market was up today. The Dow was up 9. The Nasdaq up 41. And the S&P up 7. But that wasn't how the market... The market had a lot of volatility during the day. A lot of volatility. We're seeing 1 and 2% moves pretty consistently these days for all the month of February almost. Every day and now into March. So you're seeing lots of volatility, even though the prices didn't move a lot for the entire day, but inside the day, it was pretty volatile. Do you have questions about college savings plans, the tax bill? You know, tax bill stops the Coverdell program. Did you know that? Both Series I savings bonds and Series 529 college savings plans offer tax advantage ways to save for college. What are the merits of a prepaid tuition plan? You ever heard of those? That's part of the 529. These are offered by the states. So there are disadvantages, but there are also advantages, but something you may want to consider. Ask your question at 888-99-CHART.
Here are the directions for reaching Steve this afternoon with your question. Just call 888-99-CHART, C-H-A-R-T. Have a question about how best to get into the market? Or maybe you're feeling unsure about your current investments. That's what this is all about. This is Invest Talk.
Hi, I'm calling in to get your thoughts and opinion on a stock, Nektar Therapeutics, NKTR. I currently own some shares and wanted to see whether it is time to sell some or buy more. Thanks for your show, and I'll be listening for the answer.
Okay, Nektar Therapeutics. It's a large cap company, $15.7 billion. Develops products based on proprietary drug delivery technology, through PACs and with pharmaceutical and biotech firms. So they deliver, like, maybe through pins, you know, poking yourself with drugs, or, you know, some way of some kind of release of medicine that you swallow, but it releases slowly. Some kind of proprietary drug delivery technology. Of course, you have to read about it to find it out. The problem you have with this company, even though they're really big, is that they don't have any profits. They've never had any profits, ever. They're going to lose 78 cents this year per share, and next year $1.25. They're going to lose money. And yet the stock has gone from a year from about $15 a share to now $98 a share. Since their sales have been increasing recently, but still not making any money from that increase in sales. So the debt is very high. Management owns 5%, which is good. And mutual funds have been buyers, pretty strong buyers in the last year, and that's what's been driving it up. My sense is that you don't buy more, you just take profits at this point. You don't have to sell it all, but I would take some, depending on when you got in, because it's really stretched to the upside. There's no PE because there's no E, no earnings, not going to be any earnings. So it's a pretty risky stock as far as that is concerned, but it is also a large cap stock. And they only do about $95 million a quarter, and that's up 156% from a quarter a year ago. So, you know, this is all on expectations. This is all on speculation on the future that this company is going to do well. And so because of the speculation, I'd be more tend to want to take profits, not keep investing in the company. Okay. I have another email question that came in today from Inu. Hi, Steve. I want to know what you think about Youngevity. Y-G-Y-I. Y-G-Y-I. I never heard of that company. Youngevity International. One of the reasons I haven't heard of it is because it's fairly new and it's a micro cap. For their goal and good health products, I'm interested in them and wish them to do well. But I know that is not a good idea to invest. What do you think? Okay. Youngevity. Okay, the company just came out in June or so of 2017. They don't make money. Sales are flat. So, and it's a $85 million company. I wouldn't buy this. Provides health, nutrition, food, beverage, spa, beauty, as well as innovative services. I don't know what that means. It's out of Chula Vista, California, which is, by the way, where I used to grow up, down in San Diego area, south of San Diego, Chula Vista. And they're gonna lose a penny share. They've lost a penny a share almost every year, but in 2013, they made a penny a share. That, to me, is why would you don't have the growth. You don't have growth in sales, so why invest in it? What was your reasoning to invest in this company? It's $4.31, and it's a penny a share? No. You do not buy this kind of company. It's just not worth the risk. It's not worth. If it was growing fast, even though it was losing money, that would make more sense, because at least you have sales growth that is is increasing. These are the kind of things you need in a speculative stock like this. You need growth, growth in sales. So I just don't think it's wise to put any money into it. Okay, and the symbol again, everybody, YGYI. This doesn't make sense to me. Okay, why annuities are a bad idea for most everyone out there. Why are annuities a bad idea for most everybody? You've heard me talk about annuities. I'm not keen on annuities. I used to work for insurance companies back in New York in my early career, and they sold annuities. I was never in that department, but, you know, I had a lot of friends in that department. An annuity. Annuity is an insurance product. It's always an insurance product. An annuity is you give them your money, and they promise to pay you back a certain amount of money every month at a starting at a certain time for the rest of your life. That's how annuity works. Now, there's different kinds of annuity. You know, you're most probably familiar with a variable annuity or a fixed annuity, and that's a different kind of annuity. But a normal annuity is you give your money to the insurance company. They will pay you a monthly check for the rest of your life starting on a certain day. And remember, the operative word is you gave that money to them. It's not your money anymore. You don't have any right to it. It's not your money. You gave it to them. And they gave you a promise. Okay, so you can't take your money out on a regular annuity. You already gave it to them. It's annuitized by you giving them money, and they're going to pay you a monthly fee starting at some time. Now, their hope is that you'll die right away. They don't have to pay. I know that sounds morbid. But the highest paid people in an insurance company are the actuaries. And they figure out all the different people out there with their different careers and health and living standards and lifestyles, and they know exactly how long you're going to live. And then they figure out how much money they can pay in an annuity over what period of time. So that's what a normal annuity is, everybody. On your death, they don't have to pay anymore. So you want to live to be 150 years old. They have to keep paying as long as they're in business. The risk is it's an insurance company. You want to hope that it's big enough and will be around. Remember, AIG, world's largest insurance company, would have went out of business without the help of the government. Okay, a different kind of annuity is a variable annuity. That's where you buy mutual funds. It's like an investment. A fixed annuity is like buying a CD. Okay, those are the other kinds that you're probably most familiar with. We're down to our last 10 minutes, everybody. Give me a call. Love to hear from you. 888-99-CHART.
Back to your calls on InvestTalk for this Tuesday, March 6th. There is some truth to the understanding that bonds are safer than stocks, but average investors miss an important nuance. Are you committing the bond blunder? That's tomorrow at 4. Now, I'd like to hear your question or your topic for today. 888-99-CHART is how to reach him right now.
Hey, Steve or Justin, this is Ryan. I have a quick question about price targets. So when you see or hear that an analyst or a company has adjusted their price target, is there a typical time frame on when they expect the stock to hit that price target? So just a quick question for you guys, and I will listen on podcast. Thanks.
Yeah, most of the time it's within a year. So when an analyst says, we think the stock's going to go to $55 and it's at $45 today, most of the time it's in a year. They will clarify it if they think within a three-year period or whatever. But most of the time it's the year. So within a year, it's going to meet our price target. Analysts usually predict the next year's earnings per share. And they're estimating that. And they're estimating that with a good guess. It is a guess, everybody. But it's an educated guess. They call up the competitors. They call up the suppliers. They call up the company. You know, they try to get as much information as they can, and then they make a good, educated guess. And then they, based on that, they tell you what the, they feel the price target is. Okay, some analysts don't use fundamentals to do their price targeting. Some just use not just, not estimates, but more of momentum, of sales momentum, not even earnings, of what they think is going to go. How could in the world any analyst have Amazon? Amazon, whose P.E. ratio today is 335, and the stock is at $1,537, how could they have a price target of higher than where it is with that kind of relationship? It's purely based on speculation of the future earnings power and the enthusiasm about the stock. That's it. And I'm going to tell you, analysts are generally wrong. It's how wrong they are. That's really the question. That's why I tell people, and I tell you, you can be just as good at your method of determining what that price target is as the experts. Just use common sense. Common sense. For instance, a 5-year P.E. ratio of Amazon is 141 to 1,000, and it's at 335 now. Well, what if it was 141? What if the P.E. was 141? And that company is making, you know, $15 next year. So 141, you know, maybe a $400 stock. I'd have to do the math. But that's from a 1537 stock. How about 1,000 P.E.? Well, that's 1537, right where it is. See, so based on next year's earnings. So how does an analyst get a higher price target than that? Interesting, huh? It's pretty difficult. We should probably talk a little bit about what's happening in the stock market with the new steel and aluminum tariffs going in. My personal feeling is that we are, the market, the news media, everybody else is making too much of it. That is not going to all of a sudden turn around our steel and aluminum industry. It's not going to all of a sudden cause lots of inflation on our system. It's not going to do any of those things. It is, you know, they're worried about a trade war. I doubt seriously that it will start a trade war. I doubt that. And I got this feeling that maybe it's all about politics and getting a NAFTA deal, because the NAFTA deal has been on hold. And maybe this is a way Trump wants to negotiate by threatening. You know who our largest exporter of steel to us is? It's Canada. Well, who's NAFTA with? Canada and Mexico. What's Mexico as far as steel into our country or aluminum? I don't know, 10 or 12th. They're not there, but they're up there. I think we as investors need to step back and say, how's this really going to affect the market? How's it going to affect the economy? Is it really going to slow down income? Actually, if prices go up, if inflation goes up, the corporations have been known to stay way ahead of inflation as far as their profits. They don't mind. They're not going to be fearing inflation. As long as it's not out of control, they're not going to fear it. They're going to make money on it. So you as investors, don't panic out of the market because of that. Just not a good thing. Time to wrap it up, everybody. Reminder, I have one slot left for my next visit to San Jose for individual meetings with our listeners. The date is March 14th. If you'd like to reserve your hour with me, just go to investtalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, Justin Klein, and I want to thank you for making our show part of your day. We really do appreciate it. So let's do it again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor, which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461.